put your foot on the throat, choke him out. That's exactly what I said.
Show up, because we're going to show out.
And you just can't beat Georgia Southern, and you ain't seen nothing yet.
Eagle Nation, welcome to the first episode of Gotta Talk. It's a podcast dedicated to all things Georgia Southern football. I'm your host, Matt Monty, joined by my friend, my co-host, and my former college roommate at Georgia Southern University, Cody Anderson. Cody, how's it going, buddy?
Doing great, Matt. How are you?
Doing good. So before we get this whole thing started, let's just take a brief moment to just kind of talk about what this whole thing is, how it all came about, a little bit about Cody and myself, and a little bit about what hopefully you'll come to expect from this podcast each and every week throughout the 2018 season. So like I said, it's dedicated to all things Georgia Southern football. It might sound cliche, but we like to think of it as a podcast for Georgia Southern fans by Georgia Southern fans. Both Cody and I are proud graduates of Georgia Southern University. Cody graduated. We came in at the same time. We actually went to high school together, so our friendship dates back pretty far. He graduated a year before I did. I took the longer 5-year path, but no shame there. You know, I was lucky enough to cover the football team while I was there for several years for the Georgian Student Newspaper. Had a career for about 6 years after that in sports journalism, and since have been doing some other things in newspapers and then now in digital marketing. So I'm happy to take this on as a hobby and get back into the world of sports talk. Cody, why don't you just tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yes. My name is Cody Anderson. I graduated with a degree in mathematics from Georgia Southern University. Right now, I'm a Statesboro resident, which I absolutely love and enjoy, and as well as a season ticket holder for our football team.
Nice. So a little bit about how this came about. Like I said, we like to think of it as a podcast for fans by fans. And, you know, Cody and I, we're going to talk about this stuff regardless. You know, we're always, like Cody said, he's in Statesboro. I'm actually live and work in Orlando, Florida. But we're always on the phone, texting, on Facebook Messenger, talking about football. Obviously, when the season's coming up, the closer it gets, the more we're talking about it. We're going to be talking about this regardless. So we figured, why not record it, put it out there for whoever wants to hear it, and go from there. So we hope you enjoy it, and we hope it, you know, kind of fills a void of kind of what we felt like was kind of an untapped market for coverage of our beloved Eagles. So obviously, you know, there's some great coverage out there with the various blogs, the regional newspapers, and all the TV stations that cover Georgia Southern. And, you know, this isn't to compete with them in any way. It's just to offer another avenue to obtain information about Georgia Southern football. And, you know, we are going to offer our opinions for what it's worth, you know, our armchair quarterback opinions, if you will, and, you know, obviously take them for a grain of salt. We also want this to be kind of an open forum. You know, we want to open it up on all the social medias, you know, give you guys all the opportunities to give us feedback on what you want to hear, what you think of certain ongoings in the world of Georgia Southern football, and we'll do our best to address those and address those questions, answer those questions, and go from there. So for this first episode, we want to focus on everything that was in 2017, a very tough 2017 for Georgia Southern fans. The firing of Tyson Summers 6 games in, the hiring of Coach Chad Lunsford. We want to talk about what we might expect from the Chad Lunsford era and all the happenings of a very eventful Georgia Southern offseason. So let's get started with that. Let's look at last season, just 2-10 overall, 2-6 in the Sun Belt Conference. As I mentioned, Coach Tyson Summers, his career here cut short just after 6 games into his second season, going 0-6. The nail in the coffin was that 55-20 loss at UMass, a perennial basement dweller in the FBS. And then enter Chad Brett Lunsford, longtime assistant at Georgia Southern, takes the reins as the interim coach. Kind of continued to struggle team-wise, you know, saw some improvements across the board, but, you know, the L's kept piling up with three straight losses, Troy, Georgia State, and then Appalachian State, and then the big 52-0 home win against South Alabama started to kind of right that ship. Followed it up with a 34-24 win at Louisiana. Always, you know, a tough team in the Sun Belt Conference and definitely a tough place to play there in Lafayette. Then we hired Coach Lunsford full-time, made him the new head coach, gave him the reins of the program, and, you know, some felt maybe that was a little too soon. I was one of those people to begin with. Then Eagle Nation's nerves got a little worse there with the final game, 28-17 loss at Coastal Carolina. So, Cody, let's start there of just, you know, what you think about the hire of Coach Lunsford. Then, as I just said, you know, I expressed some concern when they hired him that early. I would have rather them wait till the end of the year just to see how things pan out. But we were looking for anything, any kind of sense of positivity after a really, really tough season.
Well, I think the hiring of Lunsford was actually a pretty smart decision, and you could tell that right away when they put the intern tag on him. You saw a difference in the team in regards to what appeared to be hustle, effort, the way that they even carried themselves. They seemed beforehand to just kind of be down in the dumps, not much confidence when they walked out on the football field. And then in walked Chad Lunsford, and there just seemed to be an energy that was not there before. I mean, you look at the Georgia State game, and we were in that game, probably a game in which most people thought going into that week we were probably going to get blown out. Penny Hart would probably have, what, like 300 yards receiving going against us. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case. In fact, we probably should have won that game. And then going to App State, and we were actually into that game going into the fourth quarter, and then the fake punt, and then the two touchdowns in the fourth, and, you know, the score looked to be a lot worse than what it was. It's pretty competitive going into that fourth quarter. Then we had the two games against Lafayette and South Alabama, which you could just tell the offensive wheels were clicking. The defense was playing lights out. They looked to be faster than what they've been all season long. And it looked to be a great, great energy that he brought in, and just seemed to really put his hand on what needed to happen to kind of turn this team around. And I think a lot of people, especially, our AD thought so as well, thought that he had what was needed to turn the tide and to get this program back to where we're accustomed to, which is winning conferences and competing on a national stage. So I think this hire is going to be a good one. I understand the hesitancy after the Coastal loss. That wasn't a very good week after being named the head coach permanently. But as you saw in the offseason, I think the hires that he made on the coordinators and the recruiting class that he brought in, I think really kind of put a lot of ease into the minds of a lot of Eagle fans out there.
Absolutely. And let's talk more about that. I mean, if there was one thing that Lunsford brings to the table, it's being a great recruiter. He was a former recruiting coordinator at Auburn, served as a recruiting coordinator before here at Georgia Southern. So you knew he could recruit. We'll get to the recruiting class here in a minute, but let's start with those coaching hires. And really, as a head coach, I mean, you are kind of recruiting coaches. You're trying to get them to buy into the program, buy into you as a head coach. And as you mentioned, I mean, you know, coordinators that he's able to get, and then the assistants to fill out the staff, just really, really impressive. So let's start there with Bob DeBest, the new offensive coordinator that he brought in from New Mexico. Tell me a little bit about him.
Probably the best hire we could make for the offense that we want. He really designed this Fritz-style offense back when he was with Willie Fritz at Sam Houston State. I think it was around 2010, 2011. And he is going to run a triple option out of the gun. That's going to be his style. This was his style at New Mexico when he was there for 5-6 years. I think the rushing totals were top five for all but one of those years, and that was his last year there, in which you could kind of give the argument that the injuries piled up on the offensive side of the ball, which dropped him out of that. But still, he seems to have a game plan. He knows how to run this offense. He knows the blocking schemes. He knows play calling. He knows how to adjust for what the defense is going to throw at him. I think for the style of offense that Coach Lunsford wants, which is the style that we had back in 2014, 2015, this was the best hire, probably the perfect hire that we could have gotten as far as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on it, but I think the biggest thing that DeBest brings to this offense is identity. And that's something that certainly was missing the last 2 years under Tyson Summers and his various coordinators that he had there. You know, as we've talked off air, there just was no identity these last 2 years in what we wanted to do. Obviously, they threw around the idea of running the gun option, but it wasn't consistent. There might have been some flashes here and there of what we saw under Willie Fritz, but hopefully we'll get back to that under DeBess. And really, I told you this, Cody. I think this guy brings the most experience that we've ever seen with an offensive coordinator at Georgia Southern. I mean, obviously you expect to get better talent both with the players and coaches when you're at the FBS level. So maybe it's unfair to compare him to some previous coordinators. And certainly we've had coordinators like Paul Johnson that have gone on to be great head coaches and make their mark in the FBS. But I mean, with DeBess, I mean, he's had stops at many Power Five schools. And then obviously, like you mentioned, at Sam Houston State under Fritz and kind of, you know, got his career going with that high power, high octane offense. So really looking forward to seeing what happens there. We'll move on to defense and the new hire of defensive coordinator Scott Sloan coming from rival Appalachian State. The Eagles will move to a 3-4 front under Sloan, so that will be interesting. We've ran 3-4 in the past, but not since we've been in the FBS. Sloan, he served as a co-defensive coordinator last season for Appalachian State. He is a former recruiting coordinator at Appalachian State, so filling out that really impressive staff under Coach Lunsford of great recruiters. So, Cody, tell me a little bit more about defensive coordinator Scott Sloan.
Well, Scott Sloan's hire is also a really, really great hire. You hit App State in two areas, recruiting and defense. With Nate Woody going to Georgia Tech and Scott Sloan coming here, they really had to, you know, find somebody else to really have to run their style of defense. And, I mean, we heard them on two aspects on that. And then the recruiting aspect of it, we now have two really great recruiting coordinators with Chad Lunsford as a head coach and then with him, Scott Sloan as the defensive coordinator. You know that the recruiting aspect of Georgia Southern football is going to be top-notch. Scott Sloan's going to come in here. He's going to emphasize turnovers right off the bat, takeaways. I believe App State led turnovers or were definitely in the top three in turnovers in the Sun Belt Conference, I think the past 3 years. This is going to be a defense that's going to be aggressive. I think the only question mark we have going into this really is going to be linebacker depth and linebacker play. But I think Scott Sloan will have them really, really prepared coming into September 1st to start the season.
And now moving on to recruiting, you know, we've been talking about all the great recruiters, including Lunsford. So I know Eagle Nation, that was one of the things that everyone, including myself and you, Cody, were most excited about, to see what Lunsford in a short turnaround time, obviously not an easy task at all, but to turn around and see what he could bring in recruiting wise after, you know, two less than stellar seasons. And after, as we mentioned, not really having much of identity on offense or really defense for that matter. So Cody, let's just talk a little bit about that recruiting class that 24/7 Sports ranked the number one recruiting class in the Sun Belt Conference.
Yes. So you would think after coming off a 5-7 season in 2016 and a 2-10 season coming after 2017 that our recruiting class would not be top in the conference, but that's exactly what it was. With the addition of the early signing period in December, you saw us only get 8 kids, which I thought, you know, was a little bit of a gamble, not really trying to stack your class there and then kind of relax going into February and only getting a couple of signees here or there that you kind of needed to fill out your class. But Coach Lunsford took the opportunity to just kind of slow everything down, get a few kids that he thought really were buy into his program or fit his program, and then really put the pressure on recruitment going into January. And his gamble paid off, and it turned into be an excellent recruiting class. I think Quinn Williams is, I believe, the highest rated player to ever sign with Georgia Southern football. And he's going to be, I think, an immediate presence on the linebacker crew coming into this season as a freshman. You just saw what appeared to be speed on both sides of the ball. We got a couple of a few really fast guys in the slot and defensive back positions. I think this is a very, very good indicator as far as what kind of football program Chad Lunsford wants and what he's going to do moving forward, which is going to be a lot of really good things here on out. Also, too, you had two junior college transfers come in on the offensive side of the ball, which will give us immediate depth there and really shore up that offensive line, which I think is definitely needed after the last two seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's break down quickly. We won't go into too much detail about it, but you mentioned some of the guys, Quinn Williams out of Morgan County, also bringing in Brandon Cross, a cornerback out of Jones High School from where I live in Orlando, Florida. Justin Birdsong, a late commitment, another quarterback out of Stevenson High School in Stone Mountain, Georgia, a highly rated three-star recruit. And then Andrew Cunningham. Let's talk a little bit about him. I know we were both really excited about him, Cody. A running back out of Cambridge Christian High School out of Tampa, Florida, and had a ton of offers. Did have a injury that he was battling through, so that obviously hurt his recruiting a little bit. But, you know, probably one of the most heavily recruited kids that's ever signed with the Blue and White. So tell me a little bit about Andrew Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, a kid that just has speed and strength and just seems to be just a tank when he's running with the football on the field. We may redshirt him with a new rule in which you can play four games and still be a redshirt. I would think that probably would be what we would see with Cunningham. But, I mean, if he comes out here and performs and his knee is 100% healthy, I mean, I would not be the least surprised if he is competing for playing time with Fields and Garrett in the backfield. I think he has that kind of talent to where he can come in immediately and probably start playing for us. But we'll just have to see how his knee holds up, how healthy it is. And, it's not going to hurt anything if we just wait a year, really make it for sure that it's 100% healthy, and then let him just kind of take the reins going into his sophomore season.
Okay, so let's move on to the spring game. Cody, I had a chance to go up to Statesboro and visit you for the 2018 spring game. And, you know, really a pretty packed house there, a well-attended spring game to see what Eagle Nation might have in store under the first full year of Coach Chad Lunsford. So, and that new offense under offensive coordinator Bob DeBest. So, Cody, let's talk a little bit about what we saw out of that spring game. Obviously, a controlled scrimmage. Every school does it a little differently. We've certainly seen it change throughout the years here at Georgia Southern. But what did you kind of see out of that? You know, some key players sitting out of that game, including both the projected top two running backs in Monteo Garrett and Wesley Fields. But we got to see, all of the quarterbacks that might get some playing time this year play, see what they look like in situations. So let's talk a little bit about that, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, it was a controlled scrimmage, offense versus defense. Defense looked a lot sharper. You know, they definitely looked better than the offensive side of the ball, which you can, expect in regards to this. With that being said, the offense didn't look anemic, and they didn't look like they couldn't move the ball. They certainly could, and I think they broke off a couple of big runs in the scrimmage, so that looked nice and very, very exciting for the upcoming season. With that being said, I think there's some hesitations in regards to the offense. I know that Shai Wirtz, I think everybody's really looking for him to have a big jump this coming up season, with him being probably the number one starter going into the 2018 season, but we'll kind of touch more on that going into our offensive preview. But he did at times look really, really good, and then at times, you kind of were hesitant, like he's still kind of going through those learning pains. Now, he can't help some of the drop passes by the receivers during the game, but I think what we hope to see out of him moving forward is an understanding of the offense and definitely leadership that he needs to have as being the quarterback of Georgia Southern football. Again, I think the defense looked sharp. They looked really, really quick. Like they played downhill, almost like they've always played the 3-4. Like there was no learning curve, anything along those lines. So that looked very, very promising. We'll see. Hopefully the wide receivers, I know that's kind of been an issue that coached the best has kind of really hit on during the offseason, that they need to start really playing better. I look for them to kind of really shore up their hands and really, really start providing the threat they need to pose to defenses to really open up our run game.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, I mean, with the spring game, you know, you kind of have to look at individual performances, but even that, when you're talking about like quarterback play, you know, with a lot of those key playmakers out, I think at least three offensive linemen, I think, might've been out for that game, projected starting offensive linemen. Obviously, as we mentioned, we've got some, JUCO transfers that are coming in that might make an impact and start as well. So, you know, that obviously affects quarterback play, it affects running back play, wide receivers, everything. So everything starts there at the line. So, you know, that's definitely something to take in consideration and kind of take what we saw out of the spring game with a grain of salt. But as you mentioned, I felt the same way, that the defense was definitely ahead of the game than the offense, but that's to be expected, implementing, you know, a new offense. And while we're implementing a new defense, that's a little bit easier to transition into than, you know, a brand new offensive playbook. So certainly looking forward to seeing what comes out of that. And you know, we're talking back in April now. So, you know, several months ago, and gearing up for practice and getting things going. And I'm sure they're hopefully far along from what we saw a couple months ago in Paulson Stadium. With that, our next episode will be a defensive and special teams preview. We'll break down those two sides of the ball, and then we will give a full offensive preview the following week, leading you up to the South Carolina State game, where we'll take you through a preview of that game. And we'll also have a preview of the full 2018 season, where we'll go through kind of each game quickly and break down our thoughts for that, some key games on the schedule, both in conference and out of conference, key playmakers that you know, we hope to see, and what's it going to take to have a successful season. So all that and more to come. We thank you for listening again. You know, we hope this gives fans just something else to, you know, get them excited about Georgia Southern football. And, you know, we want to hear your opinions on it. Any questions, anything you'd like to hear us talk about, reach out on social media, reach out on our website, gottatalk.com. There's you'll be seeing more and more of our promotions and everything. And we want to hear from you and answer all that to the best of our abilities, and just add another avenue of coverage for Georgia Southern football. So with that, for Cody, I'm Matt Monty. This has been Gotta Talk, and Cody, we'll talk more next week about defense and special teams.
Hail Southern, Matt.
Hail Southern.